Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it.
All right. So welcome back to the Startup Dentist Podcast. If you were listening recently, I recently had a episode about when I talk about the three P's. I talk about practice, profits, and purpose, and how these three elements need to align themselves so well for you to be successful in your startup practice. And I got a message the other day from one of our clients, Dr. Ben, who's in Louisiana. And he was talking about he has a great community that he serves, just an awesome purpose and what he lives up to. But he shared this awesome message with me, which was this. I'll summarize it this. He sent me on Messenger and he said, one of the biggest things he's ever accomplished recently was he's paid off his student loans. He's been a practice owner for a couple of years now, about 2 years. And he said, being able to generate the profits in his practice and everything enabled him to give him this path in order to do something that he, quote unquote, said he thought he would never be able to do. He looked at it and he said it was such an obstacle for him. He never thought he'd be able to achieve that. So he's been able to achieve everything, and which was awesome, which was he's serving his community. He's serving his patients the way he wants. He has a great purpose, but he also has a profitable practice that gave him this path of, for him, almost like financial freedom to be able to pay off the student loans. So super excited to be able to, I love getting those messages. So, all right, today we are going to talk about avoiding DIY mistakes and avoid the DIY mistakes of doing a do-it-yourself startup practice. So grab your notepad and let's start making that dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. So DIY, I'll let you in on something here. I'm actually fairly handy. Now, I wouldn't say that that I'm living at Home Depot or Ace or Lowe's on the weekends and ready to do projects in my practice, but I'm capable of doing certain things. But I lack the experience and, well, the equipment to make it right. I have a great friend. I'll just name him Bob, even though his name's not Bob. He did his entire patio kitchen and everything. And you know what? It looked awesome. I couldn't do that. A couple things. It's not me. I don't want to sacrifice my weekends to be able to do DIY projects. I want it done right. And I don't want it to look like I actually did it myself, because that's exactly what it would look like. I actually want it done. I had neighbors back in the day, they still have neighbors. They're like DIY people. And a lot of times it's like they get like two or three projects going in their home and they never seem to finish. Now, today I want to talk about a DIY startup practice and how to avoid those mistakes. The mistakes that you make with a DIY in your journey aren't just simply about like crooked tile on a wall or like, oh, the paint doesn't look really good in my house. These are life-altering mistakes. So today I'm going to cover three elements I'm going to share with you today to help you avoid the million-dollar mistake. I mean, this practice can be $1 million. It may cost you $1 million. I mean, obviously, not all startups are going to be same, but I want to help you avoid that kind of mistake, because that mistake is life-altering. So one of the things I want to talk to you about today is growth versus savings strategies. I think a lot of times one of the biggest mistakes I see with a lot of startups is there is this focus on like, oh man, I must save myself to prosperity. There's this focus on like, I don't want to go too big, which, listen, I'm not an advocate for building the biggest startups. We have to be financially, I always say there needs to be a balance from a spending perspective, but no one's ever, I've been doing this for almost 20 years, folks. And if you've read my book, over 800 startups, I'm probably actually now approaching over 900 startups. I'll say this, none of them have ever come to me and said, man, I am successful because I spent the least on my startup. Now, I don't understand. There's these concepts out there about lean startups. Yeah, I think you do lean startups, but you may find yourself, if you built the cheap practice, you're just going to be known as that cheap dentist in town. What I want you to do is also focus on growth strategies. Now, the big mistake of a DIY practice sometimes is like saving yourself on things like marketing. Like, wow, I've heard people, even banks and people talk about like, wow, marketing is expensive. Do you want patients or customers? Do you want them or not? Those are investments. Now, if the choice is like great marketing strategy and like this really cool tile that I can have flowing in from Italy, go with the marketing strategy. So growth is focusing on those elements that will help you grow. There could be technology. There could be your, marketing, all these different elements that'll help you go towards growth. The other thing to factor in is the size of your space as well. Sometimes you may find yourself like, the other thing I've never heard ever from any clients I've ever worked with over the last almost 20 years was this: I wish I took less space. Now, I'm not advocating for like building big spaces. I think there needs to be a balance with all this, with how big of a space you go into. But if you find yourself, so think about this, the average operatory, the average treatment room can produce $150,000, maybe $200,000 a year. And so I actually think about a client from a few years ago. His name is Dr. Jerry. Dr. Jerry built a beautiful practice. He bought the space and he had a couple different options in terms of his floor plan. And John, our floor plan designer, if anybody knows John Malone, he is what we call the Picasso of the dental industry. He had a couple different options. He said, "Hey, Dr. Jerry, I got two options for your floor plan." Dr. Jerry had bought the building. It was built for maybe like a law office or something. So like the thing is that some of the rooms and the offices were almost like operatory size. So there was a little bit of like, wow, I could kind of move in and like not do a lot. And he said, John built two different floor plans. He said, okay, floor plan one is kind of retrofitting the space that's there. We can make these operatories fit. Space plan number two was, hey, if we just kind of like look at this, scrape this thing clean and take down basically all the walls, we can add another treatment room. Now he's going to own this space. So this wasn't like a lease where it's like, well, I'm only going to see myself there for the next maybe decade. This is my permanent home. My practice is going to be here basically forever. The difference was by scraping the basically like almost like a gut job, if you want to use that word, scraping like all the walls out and everything, it was going to cost somewhere in the vicinity of like $75,000 to $80,000 in more construction. Big budget impactor. But think about like what an extra treatment room does. Dr. Jerry grew fast. He, after like a year or two, he was like, "Ooh, I'm glad I have that treatment room, because now that treatment room produces $150,000 to $200,000 a year. And if he does it right, in perpetuity." So in other words, that he focused on the savings, he would have saved himself $75,000 on his startup costs. But what he would have lost was $150,000 in income for the next 20 years. Wow. Big, big difference. So don't just look through the lens of like, how do I get open the cheapest or the least expensive? Really focus on like what is most important that will help you grow your practice. So that's why I say we're going to focus on growth strategies, not this solely saving ourselves to success, because no one has saved themselves to success. It's making the proper investments to grow. The second element I want to talk to everyone about is race feel. Okay, so there is different feel. So you need to have race feel in your practice. So if anybody, I'm not a race car person, but I like cars. Race cars actually use different kinds of fuel? Race cars, you don't see race cars pull up to your local BP station and or whatever gas station and say, fill it up with some 92 octane. No. Actually, like race cars usually require like 110 octane. So what is octane? Octane is like what makes fuel, like makes that engine roar. Your startup needs octane. It needs that high octane to grow, because if you don't, your practice just kind of like dribbles out, just kind of launches. What is race car feel for you? It's having the right systems. It's having the right marketing strategy. I see so many mistakes done where it's like, I'm focusing on the opening of the practice. And that's what most DIY practices do. They say, okay, I need space and I need a loan. Yep. And by the way, like, you don't need anybody to do that. You can find a bank, talk to a real estate agent, buy some shares, plop them in, boom, you have a practice. The difference is the profitable practices that we have built and what I see that exist have the right feel. They have the right marketing strategy. They've got the systems. They've got protocols in shape, in place before the doors open. And recently I was on, you know, as you probably have seen me, I do troll a lot around on Facebook groups. And there was this post, this was probably maybe a month ago, and it just kind of stuck in my brain. And in one of the nice Facebook groups that are out there. And the question was, hey, everybody, I'm opening my practice in a few weeks. What's everybody doing for marketing? Ouch. If you're just opening, getting ready to open your doors in the next few weeks, and now you're just thinking about marketing, you don't have the right fuel. Your engine won't go. You need race fuel, rocket fuel, basically, to launch your practice. There needs to be a focus on the profit side, because what most DIY practices focus on is, like, because there's so many things that are happening, it's like the focus typically is just on this opening. So think about this. There is all kinds of moving parts when it comes to opening a practice. Kind of like when you move. If you ever move before, my wife and my three daughters, we've moved a couple times. There's always like this, okay, got the furniture, you got all these things. And all of a sudden it's like, the kitchen towels and like some of the odds and ends stuff, it's like, oh, just kind of jumble that into one box. Everyone thinks about the big things, your equipment, your construction. And there's like all these other little small things, like how do those line up properly? How do you line up the timing of your marketing? How do you line up building the business systems? Who's going to come in and help you? Because if you've never worked in a practice where you're exposed to the business side of dentistry, made hiring decisions, built financial guidelines, built handbooks for your team handbooks, if you've never been exposed to those before, how now are you going to do it and do it well? So a lot of times what it is, those things get pushed off because your brain, your time is so focused on like the opening of the practice that you haven't focused on building the practice systems and the profits to be able to actually building those systems and having the right marketing strategy to build a profitable practice. By having those elements are the fuel that will help you grow. Those are the fuel that you need. So remember, race car fuel. You need that high octane to be able to, that pushes that engine forward. That's your practice. Your practice needs to have the right systems, the right marketing strategy, all those different elements in order for you to launch. And if you're doing this on your own, how much time will you have? Will you have be able to do those elements? It's a big mistake that I see with a lot of DIY practices. They get a lot of times to the end of the line, like this doctor opening my practice in a few weeks and going, oh yeah, I think I need marketing. Yeah, you do. You need patience. Without patience, your practice doesn't grow. So make sure that you're using race car fuel, that you're focusing on you need to have systems. You need to have somebody help you, mentor you to build proper systems, to have a true marketing strategy that will help you launch your practice from day one. Number three is, if anybody has read my book, The Startup Dentist, I talk about this concept called the peanut gallery. And this is kind of appropriate place. What is a peanut gallery? If you ever look up, you can go on Google and look this up. It came around the time of vaudeville, which is like the late 19th century. Where the theater owners had problems with people, and they said, because they were disrupting the plays, and these were the people that sat in the front seats. So if you ever go to concerts now, we always want to be in the front seats. Well, I don't, because I'm getting older now. But in my 20s, I wanted to be like at rock concerts and things like that, and be able to be at the front row. Actually, while I was in college, I did see my favorite band. Here you go. Metallica is my favorite band. I was fourth row left stage in college. And for about, and even with foam and stuff like that in my ears, earplugs. After about 5 days, I still was had a little bit of a ringing. So I do recall that, and that was fun. But now I wouldn't be close, but a little bit away. So back in vaudeville, the cheap seats, not the great seats, cheap seats were in front of the stage, and these people will disrupt the performers on stage. So all the theater owners got together and they said, what can we give these people to be quiet so they wouldn't disrupt our plays? So they gave them peanuts. And the story goes like this. Instead of chewing on the peanuts to keep these people quiet, they actually hurled through the peanuts at the performers. So this is what's going to happen. What is the peanut gallery in today's environment? It is the unsolicited, or in some cases, the solicited advice that you get from people that are well-intentioned, maybe their family, maybe their friends, but they've never really done it before, or they have limited experience in doing that. I say solicited and unsolicited because sometimes if you tell people like you're opening a practice or you're going to buy a practice, all these people are going to come out and say, this is how you should do it, because maybe they've done it once. Maybe they did 10 years ago in a totally different area, in a totally different part of the country, or even different part of the world. They're giving you advice, but they're not on your stage. They've never done it before, or not doing it the way that you're doing it today. The solicited is the people that I see that are on these Facebook groups. Again, they're going, hey, everybody, here's my floor plan. What do you think? Everyone's going to tell you there's like 65 comments, and probably some of them are good, but some of them are like, well, I don't know if that person's done that before. Maybe they're not even a dentist. Maybe they don't even own a practice. So if you want to avoid, like, keep in mind, like, you are spending $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 or more dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. You need to be able to find those that have done this hundreds of times. So think back to maybe your first crowd. If you're a general, as a dentist, think about that first crown. You might have been a little bit nervous, might have taken you some time. And now think about, like, after you've done maybe several hundred crowns, different experience, different outcome. Sure. That's why, you know, those that have done this hundreds of times can help you avoid those mistakes, or even help you make those decisions. That way you don't sit in decision overload mode, where you're decision exhaustion. Listen, there are going to be hundreds of decisions to make. And, you know, just like if you went on, you know, one of my favorite websites, I think I've talked about this before, which is Wayfair. Actually, it's not my favorite website. It's actually one of my most, I don't like Wayfair. If you ever want to buy furniture, don't go to Wayfair. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying it's overwhelming. This is why it's overwhelming. If you want to look for a sofa on Wayfair, there's like 10,000 options. You'll never be able to analyze and look at 10,000 sofa options because you'll just exhaust your time. But having those that have done this before you, they're allowing you to say, oh, wait a minute, I know those other 10,000 options. Maybe not 10,000, but I know those other options. Here are the top like few for you to make best decisions from. You've got to make great decisions, but you can't exhaust yourself over this process to say, I need to analyze all available options. And a lot of times, if you solicit this on social media and things like that, you are going to get all kinds of different answers and you don't even know. Heck, I see people ask on these different forums about financial advice. That's amazing, because I didn't realize Facebook offered financial advice, but people do ask for financial advice. And I even see dentists ask about in financial groups and things like that, asking about, like, hey, here's my situation. What do you think? The thing is, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't pretend to be. And I'm guessing unless you are a financial advisor and that person's financial advisor, none of us are capable of giving somebody financial advice without knowing, like, all this whole other picture and all these different nuances to what their situation is. So the other part about this is that getting somebody that's experienced not only will help you avoid the pitfalls, but think about, like, that path to success. Michael Jordan, in my opinion, because that was my era of basketball, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player, arguably, that's ever lived. You know, he had all kinds of coaches. He actually had I think it was more of a mindset coach. His name was George Mumford. He actually wrote a book called The Mindful Athlete, and he talks about being MJ's, Michael Jordan's, like, personal mental coach, and how Michael had to get over in order to beat, like, this was the Detroit Pistons in the late 80s. Like, Michael Jordan was, like, he was, like, physically beat up by, like, the Pistons. This was a rough era of basketball. And, like, George Mumford talks about, like, helping Michael Jordan to be able to get to that next level in order to beat these teams, in order for him to mentally, even physically, get better. So some of the greatest athletes, some of the greatest minds in the world have coaches. They have mentors. Why do I say that? Is because when it comes to a startup practice, there's no second place ribbon. There's no, if, like, you, the people talk about, like, you fail your way to success. You don't have to. If you fail here, like, that could be life altering. I think that's BS. Why fail on your own when there's so many great resources out there that can get you to that next level? I feel like there's, like, some people think there's, like, this rite of passage, like, I trudge my way through my startup, and after 2 or 3 years of being in my startup, I'm finally profitable. No, you don't have to wait 2 or 3 years to be profitable. There's faster paths. There's better paths that are out there. I don't think you go into a meeting and with your peers and say, you know, man, that was tough doing a startup. Guess what? They are tough. They're not easy. I've been a part of almost 900 of them. None of them are easy. But if you have the right team and the right mentors and the right systems and the right and other people that are looking and watching at other things, they're able to tell you what's going on, give you that advice. With our team, I like to I have an awesome team, and I talk with our director of consulting a lot. His name's Mike. He can navigate so well with clients. All things real estate and everything. And the one thing I talk with Mike about is I like to be like a really good helicopter. So if you imagine yourself like you're in a traffic jam and you're like, man, what's going on? But if you had somebody that was like in a helicopter above and says, hey, if you get off at the next exit, you're going to avoid this other thing that's going to come up, you know, down the road. That's what mentors do. That's what coaches do, is able to look at things beyond your scope, be able to look beyond like where you're at in the car, saying, hey, I see things that can happen. I see pitfalls ahead. I see challenges ahead. I see things that you can avoid. That's what people that have done this hundreds of times will give you so that you can avoid those DIY mistakes. Listen, I hire people to do a lot of things in my house and it looks great because they've done it. They have the right equipment. Having brand new black backsplash in our kitchen. It looks beautiful. These tile guys, they got the right equipment. These guys are cutting that stuff up. I was like, man, it'd probably take me hours to do like a 2-foot section because I don't have the capabilities or the equipment or the experience to do that. So have a mentor, have a team. Those that have the experience will help you that you lack, will help launch your successful practice. So as you go out in there, avoid some of these mistakes. So I talked about today, growth versus savings strategies. Don't just focus on like, how can I make the cheapest startup, but focus on things that you know that will help you grow. That could be that is your technology. That is the right size of the space. That is a true marketing strategy. Number 2, I talked about race car fuel. Okay, your practice needs to launch. That is having systems. That is having those systems and marketing strategies to grow your practice. Not just like I opened and like the engine kind of chugged. No. We need to have race car fuel that will actually launch and propel that practice from day one, from the day that you open. Number 3, I'll say avoid the peanut gallery and also avoid the DIY mistakes by having experienced people, mentors that can help you take you down this path. As always, if you want to chat with the experts that have solutions to avoid these mistakes, and you want to book a free strategy call with our team of experts, go to www.startupstrategycall.com. Startupstrategycall.com. All right, that is a wrap on avoiding the DIY mistakes. Check out the show notes for any and all links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, I talked about a little bit about marketing today. Next time, we're going to dive deeper into building a successful startup marketing strategy. I'll see you there.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.